I invite you to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. And this morning we're going to do maybe something a little different in the reading of our Word. I invite you to stand as we read God's Word together. So once you have Romans 12, please stand, and we're going to read from verse 10 through verse 13. Romans chapter 12. Beginning in, verse 9. Hear the words of the living God. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, given preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Distributing to the needs of the saints and given to hospitality. Let's pray once more and ask the Lord for His help. Father, this morning, help us to hear Your Word. Lord, help us to really and truly understand what it means to be given to hospitality as we examine this crucial text and this crucial teaching. Lord, help Your church and be with Your people. Amen. You may be seated. Today, God willing, we're going to look at and examine a topic really that in our culture has fallen out of practice. It's even in our churches, it's difficult to find practice consistently and faithfully in our churches. One, for many of us, that's lost its significance. We are a very busy culture, aren't we? We're a very private culture. We're very reserved, and we're a culture that too often has its door closed rather than open. But in the Scriptures, we see something much different, don't we? We see God's people striving to be hospitable, opening up their homes, sitting down, and slowing down their lives, sitting around a table, fellowshipping one with another in the name of our Savior. That's the picture that we get from the Scriptures. As Brother Frank and I have just returned from Costa Rica, we were quite impacted by their display of hospitality towards us. Their homes were open. The conversations lasted late until night. Many would show up even an hour or so before church to participate in this fellowship, this hospitality. And they would even stay an hour late discussing the things of the Lord. It was really food for our souls as we talked and reflected throughout the week. And it was something so great that caused me to stop and think and reflect on my own practice and also our practice in our churches. And so today I hope to place before you is a fresh call to biblical hospitality. As we have said in our modern day, especially us as Westerners, contemporary Westerners, we have a difficult time relating to the deep significance of fellowship around the table, as the Bible lays out for us. For us, so often, eating a meal is just simply filling our stomachs. That is the purpose of it. Our meals are often rushed. Sometimes we as families don't even eat together. But hospitality isn't just sharing a meal. It's opening your home. It's sharing your very life with others. It's slowing down that pace that you have been running. It's true fellowship with God's people and with strangers. A simple illustration of hospitality is this. It's an open door, a dinner table, and a guest bed. And so what do we mean by that? Or what do I want to communicate with that? Well, the idea is that our doors would be open for the brethren, for strangers, for our neighbors. We would have a door that's constantly open, willing to receive guests within. But that doesn't stop there. That open door leads to a dinner table, fellowshipping around a meal, sharing time, inviting others in and preparing something for them. And then in many times, that often leads to opening up our guest rooms and our guest beds, hosting people in our homes, sharing that time with them over multiple days. So that's the idea that I want to put before you, a biblical hospitality, an open door, a dinner table, and a guest bed. As one has said, one pastor, one of the most prominent features in the picture of early Christianity, which is so rich in good works, is undoubtedly its hospitality. Hospitality is at the heart of the gospel. And the early church was zealous to its practice. The theme of hospitality permeates the scriptures and especially the New Testament. But what we have here and what we've seen in our own culture is a change and a shift in culture over the last 100 years. Houses were once designed for entertaining people, for receiving people into our homes. The very idea of having a front porch was designed just for that. During the heat of the day, people could escape their homes and sit out in the front porch just to have conversations, to chat with their neighbors, perhaps anybody and everybody who would be passing by. Many today don't even have a front porch, do we? And I'm sure many of us probably don't use a front porch in that way. Rather, we stay inside and enjoy the air conditioning, which is a wonderful thing, but we often forget that our doors should be opened. In times past, the dining room was the center of the home. That was what was at attention. It was a place to receive guests. There was even a foyer, or entertaining room, as they called it, that they would open up and have people sit there. But now we stay inside, and at the center of our homes is our televisions, our entertainment. The center of our home is what we want to do and the things that entertain us. Whereas 100 years ago our culture was given to entertaining people, now we are given just to entertaining ourselves and our entertainment. But when you first hear the word hospitality, some of you immediately probably think of people like Joanna Gaines, Better Homes and Garden, and the ideas of entertaining and hosting with a lavish and wonderful style of home, right? But I want you to get that out of your mind right now. Now, I know some of you enjoy this style and decorate it this way, and it's perfectly great and fine, but I don't want you to think that that's the standard that we must all attain to in order to be hospitable. That's not the standard that the Bible gives to us for being hospitable. It's an unrealistic expectation to expect our houses to be perfectly neat in order and perfectly decorated in every regard. But biblically, we need to understand that we're not just trying to entertain guests. We're not just trying to provide them some sort of entertainment. As one article has said, entertaining is fundamentally me-focused. Trying to impress with a meal, trying to impress them with my home, the things that I have, and it can be at times essentially prideful. You don't have to live in a museum in order to be hospitable. You don't have to cook a 3-course gourmet dinner in order to be hospitable. You don't even have to have a very big home to do so. I tell my wife all the time that we live in a home, and it's okay if things are not perfectly in order. People live here. It's okay if someone were to see a glass out of order, a blanket unfolded, or even, I dare say, one of our children's toys in the middle of the living room. That's okay. As Pastor Brian Boardman says, when we talk about biblical hospitality, we are talking about an expression of gospel love toward brothers and sisters in Christ, and also towards those who need Christ. Biblical hospitality is expressing gospel love towards others. That is a central teaching of the Scriptures. And this is the heart of hospitality, brothers and sisters. Gospel love, because the message of the gospel itself is about welcoming sinners. Gospel love is Jesus welcoming sinners unto Himself. And so, brothers and sisters, as Christians, we should see the beauty of hospitality and its connection to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The same gospel that God was so kind and gracious to us as strangers, welcoming us in, doing good to us, providing all that we need, saving our souls. Through faith in Christ, He has now made us part of His family. Once we were strangers, living far off, but now we have been brought near by the blood of Christ, and we belong to His family. We have indeed been invited to eat with Him at the dinner table. And the good news of the gospel is just this, that for whoever would repent and trust in Christ, he or she is invited to become a part of the family of God. This and that is the message of the gospel. And we see that displayed. We see this wonderful message displayed for us in Christ coming into this world. And his ministry was marked by welcoming sinners to himself, wasn't it? Look at the patterns of our Lord Jesus, who he spent time with, who he welcomed to share meals with. He welcomed the worst of the worst, didn't he? The worst kinds of people. True sinners. Those who no one else wanted to have anything to do with. People like tax collectors. People like prostitutes. The lame, the blind, the sick, and the poor. And so gospel love manifests itself in the kind of hospitality that says, I have been welcomed to Jesus as a dirty, rotten sinner, and now because of what Jesus has done for me, I want to open my heart and I want to open my home. This is biblical hospitality. And biblical hospitality flows from the gospel. It is a model, it's a representation of God bringing us to himself. Biblical hospitality is living out life together, sharing what God has done for us. It's as Matthew 25 reminds us, and I think this is what we should remember, the words of our Lord Jesus. He says, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of them, my brethren, you did it for me." Being given to hospitality is the biblical injunction. We are to be people who open up our homes in this self-sacrificing gospel love to show love to others. And brothers and sisters, we know as 1 John 3:18 reminds us, "My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth." That is to say, let's just not talk about loving others. Let's practically actually do it. There are a few better ways to show practical love to one another than by being given to hospitality. But before we continue any further, we must look to the Scriptures and allow them to define for us more about what exactly hospitality is. Too often we come to the Scriptures with an issue already decided in our minds. And to guard us against doing this, let's open God's Word about the matter. First, just to set the stage, the Greek word for hospitality is used in Romans 12, 13, Hebrews 13, 2, 1 Peter 4, 9, 1 Timothy 3, 2, and Titus 1, 8. It combines really the general Greek word for love or affection, which denotes love among people connected by kinship or faith. And it combines that word with the word for stranger. Hospitality is a concrete, a personal expression of Christian love intended to include strangers in a circle of care. And so for today, our simple definition of hospitality is this: showing loving kindness to God's people and strangers. That's our simple definition. As Alexander Strauch says in his book, The Hospitality Commands, as Bible-believing Christians, we need to rediscover the New Testament's dynamic teaching on hospitality. We need to awaken Christians to their scriptural duty to practice hospitality. We need to show the rich blessings that await all who practice hospitality. We need a fresh vision of hospitality's potential for strengthening our churches and for reaching our neighbors and our friends with the gospel. So now that we have this simple working definition, we must now endeavor to open up the Word of God to understand the biblical foundation for it. We're going to have a little bit of a Bible drill this morning to find several passages of Scripture. I'm sure many of you remember when you were kids going to Sunday school and you had Bible drills there, right? Where the first one to find a passage of Scripture would win the prize. Well, there's going to be no prize today, but I invite you all to exercise and have this Bible drill, turning with me, seeing for yourself the Word of God. Because we want to examine not the entirety of the Scriptures on the issue of hospitality, but these crucial and important texts. So I hope that you're feeling like a Berean today. The first, if you have your Bible, is Leviticus 19. And you say, well, what an interesting place to start speaking about biblical hospitality. But it is quite the interesting verse. Leviticus chapter 19. verse 33 and verse 34. I'll try to allow time for everybody to get there. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 says it this way: "And if a stranger dwells with you in the land, in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God." So here we have in the Old Testament, we see this idea of showing loving kindness to strangers. You shall love him as yourself. But that's incredible, isn't it? You shall love someone you do not know, a complete stranger to you, just as you love yourself. "And he shall be to you as one born among you." That is to say, you are to treat him as part of your family and the family of God. Don't consider him to be a stranger anymore, but welcome him in. Treat him no differently than your own. Love him as you love yourself and love your family. And what is the motivation that Moses puts before the people? "You were once strangers in the land of Egypt." And then he finalizes this by putting the seal, the divine stamp, on of the Lord's name, authorizing the command from the King of Glory himself: "I am the Lord your God." So much more could be said about this passage, and God willing, in the upcoming weeks, we'll look at this. But take note, love practically displays itself in hospitality. Now, let's go to Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 13 gives us this context on the heels of talking about in chapter 11, faith, even in chapter 12, of the fatherly discipline of being treated as sons of the Most High. There's an exhortation at the beginning in verse 1. It says there, Hebrews 13, 1, to let brotherly love continue. That's the context that we find ourselves in. And that verse 2 follows: "Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels." And I actually think the ESV translates it very well at this point. It gives a better sense of the passage where it says there, "Let brotherly love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." And so here we have it again. Do not neglect this hospitality. Do not forget to show hospitality. But notice, it's in the context of love. Love for the brethren, brotherly love. Continue in the love of the brethren and do not neglect this hospitality. And we need to hear the emphatic force of this scripture at this point. Hospitality isn't just a suggestion. It's a command. It's a divine command from God that reveals if our love is genuine. Now let's continue to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. It says, "But the end of all things is at hand, therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. And above all, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins." And be hospitable to one another without grumbling. A fervent love for one another. And be hospitable to one another. The one another, of course, is a reference to the family of God, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I find it fascinating here, and you should too, that Peter urges us to be hospitable without grumbling, without murmuring, without complaining or disputing about it. Why is that? Well, hospitality requires a lot of work, doesn't it? Groceries have to be bought. A meal has to be prepared. A lot of time has to be set aside. Someone has to clean up afterwards. It requires me to deny myself, my privacy, my comfort, my natural proclivity to want to go about my business doing my own thing. Let's be honest. We've all felt it, haven't we? Honey, please don't invite them again. Especially them with all of those kids. Please, not again. They destroy our home. It's like inviting an army over. It's pure carnage. If we're honest, we've all felt it, right? Or let's not invite him. He talks all the time. I can't get a word in. I can barely even say anything. Perhaps some of you may say that about me. When I was a pastor at the Gathering Church in North Carolina, my fellow elder there had 6 kids. I believe it's 8 now. And we used to all draw straws to see who was going to invite him over. Now, I'm only kidding there. But it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work to host someone with 10 people in their homes. But it was a joyful work. I'm being hospitable to them. Our church could serve his family in this way by being hospitable to them, even by allowing his wife to not have to make a meal for their children. And there was a great temptation to always grumble about this. But here again, the word of the Lord, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Instead of grumbling, consider it a joy, a privilege, an honor to be hospitable to the brethren. Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. And so what can we conclude from this brief examination of these passages of scriptures? Well, the first thing that we can conclude is to be given to hospitality is a divine command. To be given to hospitality is how Romans 12:13 puts it for us. Love is at the center of hospitality. And almost every reference of hospitality in the scriptures is in the context of brotherly love. So what does that mean for us? Is you cannot show hospitality if you do not have love for the brethren. But notice it calls us to be given to it or to pursue hospitality. This means it's no accident. It's not just going to magically happen and fall into place for us. It's a purposeful pursuit to be hospitable. It's the same wording that 1 Corinthians 14:1 tells us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And as Linsky, one pastor illustrator, commentator illustrates beautifully for us, he says, as for the hospitality pursuing it, hospitality is literally to be chased after as one hunts an animal and delights to carry the booty home. It's that purposeful pursuit, that intention behind it. Hospitality is the principle of ministering to others, including we can minister as a family. This means that my wife, my children can be involved in this ministry of hospitality. It's a family effort. And as the Bible earnestly exhorts us to pursue hospitality, no one is exempt from this command. So brothers and sisters, allow me to ask you this. Do you earnestly pursue opportunities to practice this hospitality? Is it a regular part of your life or something that you only do on special occasions? Do you see how important hospitality is for the life of the local church? But not only do we see the divine command, we also see, secondly, that to be given to hospitality is a mark of true godliness. It is showing true love for the brethren. It reveals what indeed is in our hearts. It reveals a lot about us. As 3 John reminds us, and we're going to pick up this in some future sermons, but to receive someone with hospitality is to be a participant in the ministry, whether it be a visiting pastor or a missionary. You're actively participating with them by being hospitable to them. Now flip with me to Philemon, verse 21. Philemon, verse 21, small little book. Philemon reminds us here in verse 21 and 22, I'll read. It says, having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. How bold was it for Paul to invite himself over to Philemon's house? Have the room ready for me, he says. He's expecting it. But brothers and sisters, would Paul feel free to invite himself over to your home? Would he feel free to ask you that question? Because Philemon, here's an example for us. He was someone who had the pattern of leaving his door open for hospitality. Paul knew that he could invite himself over. Do your brothers and sisters feel the same? that they feel free to invite themselves over, wanting to spend time with you. I want to give you an illustration from our time in Costa Rica. One of the deacons of Los Lagos, Don Hilbert, he and his family were just a great model and example for us to being given pursuing this hospitality. When Courtney and I lived in Nicaragua, we went and visited, as we had to every 90 days to renew our visas. We had to leave the country for 72 hours and return. But we would go and visit the brethren in Costa Rica. And we ended up staying with Don Hilbert and his family. And we were floored at how they were given to this idea of hospitality. They truly were serving us and giving themselves for us. They actually even gave up their own bedroom and slept in another room with a small mattress and allowed us to stay in there. He is a man that I know that I can tell to prepare a guest room for me. In fact, we did it last week. There's so many more examples of people who are like this, commendable for this work and these types of Philemons that we can write to and say, open the door up for me. I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I want to have this fellowship with you. But brothers and sisters, there's not a form that we always must follow. We can be creative about being hospitality. There's not one single mold. And since the Bible doesn't give us specific details about showing hospitality, this means that you can do it in ways that suit your own personality, your situation in life, and the gifts that God has given you. Perhaps you're in a stage of life where your health or you have inabilities that would prohibit you from inviting many people over into your home. And that's okay. But in normal circumstances, the people of God should be receiving and opening up their doors. You don't have to be able to cook great or to bake wonderful things. Nor do you need to have a perfectly clean home or even a large home to show hospitality. If you have children, you might not want to let some types of people come into your home. And that's okay. That's understandable. You can even show hospitality in places outside of your own home. Remember when Abraham fed his guests while they were under a tree? You can show hospitality even outside the home. But remember, hospitality is a sign of true godliness. Another passage, and perhaps one of the most important ones for us to consider, is 1 Timothy chapter 3. For those of you familiar with this passage, you know that in there is the context of the qualifications for the pastors of the local church. Let's begin reading with verse 1. It says there in 1 Timothy chapter 3, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires the position of a bishop, he desires a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, temperate, sober-minded, of good behavior, hospitable, and able to teach. Notice the qualification. Your pastors must be men who are given to hospitality. We usually focus on the other qualifications, don't we? Well, he must be able to teach, he must be able to govern well, he must have these characteristics, but the Spirit of the living God tells us that pastors must be men who are given to hospitality. It's in their character. He is to be an example of hospitality, and the congregation should imitate that in him. And so the biblical injunctions are always to practice hospitality in the context of brotherly love. And it's no different for even the pastor of the flock. He must show love to the members of the congregation by opening up his home. He shouldn't be sealed off. He shouldn't be unwilling for people to see how he lives. But he should be open and opening up his door. But brothers and sisters, this reminds us that biblical hospitality must take place not just on the Lord's Day, but being together throughout the week. We can't just limit our time together on one day of the week. We have to work and be diligent and pursue it at all times. And it's for all of God's people. So don't buy into the idea that some are called and gifted for hospitality and others are not. That's not a biblical idea. Sure, some may be better at it. But the Scriptures instruct all of God's children to be hospitable. So if you're a child of God, give yourself to this hospitality. Now, as we conclude our time together this morning, In the upcoming weeks, I hope to unpack a few more sermons on this idea, different scenarios, but today was kind of just the foundation from a biblical perspective to set the stage for us about hospitality. But as we close our time together, I want to make a few practical, I hope, and pray helpful applications for all of you this morning. The first is we need to understand that we must have a sacred priority. Seek first the kingdom of God. Order your life by sacred priorities, not by carnal priorities. Hospitality is a sacred priority. Pursue it, sit down and plan it, and deliberately pursue it and give yourself to it. It doesn't just happen by accident. We must not be given over to carnal priorities or even just worldly busyness. Those things should never control us, but sacred priorities should always be our guiding principles. So make a resolve. If you want some practical helps in doing this, and it may seem daunting to think about it, but make a resolve to try to have every single family in your home. You can invite multiple families at a time. You can invite our visitors who are here with us. You can invite even your neighbors. But make a priority to have God's people in your home. Go through it methodically. So you get to know people. So you know what they're wrestling with, what the Lord's teaching them, how the Lord has saved them. And don't just invite the same people over and over again. That's easy to do, right? The people we enjoy spending time with. That's not difficult. But perhaps the people we don't immediately click with, or perhaps the people that we struggle to have more in-depth conversations with, those are the people that need to be invited over to our homes to share hospitality with. And Christian hospitality ought to be more than just entertaining others. The aim for us, brothers and sisters, should be the gospel. We are pointing one another to Christ. It's iron sharpening iron. It's not vain worldly conversations, but it's stirring up one another to love and good works. And so practically ask leading questions. What is the Lord teaching you in your life right now? How did you come to faith in Christ? You can even include family worship in your time of hospitality. Pray, read the scriptures, but encourage one another with the things of God. Hospitality is the trampoline for evangelism. We will say more about this later, but the idea is to bring the lost into our home. That can be achieved by being hospitable. How many people did Christ lead to Himself around the dinner table? Think about it. Think about the model of our Lord Jesus Christ. Further, I'll say it again. Hospitality practically displays the love for the brethren. It shows my priorities are for God's people. It shows them that indeed we are a family and we belong together and that the things of this world carry much less of an importance for us. But brothers and sisters, this is also a great lesson even for our children. It helps our very children to learn that it's not all about them. They get to serve and sacrifice and participate. They get to help clean up, do the dishes. Even perhaps they get to give up their guest room, their bed, and their room to guests coming in. And husbands, I want to say a word to all of us here. We need to remember that we are called to aid our wives in the ministry of hospitality. Because too often that duty and burden falls upon her. So if we want to be hospitable, we need to likewise help her in that task. Whatever we need to do to get things ready. And we can encourage and teach our children likewise. They are to help in this ministry of hospitality. Christian hospitality is a great blessing, but it requires good old-fashioned hard work. We want more fellowship. That's our prayer. That's our desire. We want to be faithful, yes, to the Lord's Day services, morning and evening. And we want to be hospitable as well. We want to have more time with the brethren. And so don't wait for others just to invite you in. Take the initiative yourself and invite others. How often do we hear it, right? Some people come into church and say, well, I don't know anyone. No one ever invites me. I don't have any friends. Well, perhaps you should start inviting somebody if you're feeling that way. Invite someone over to your home. I don't know many people who would ever say no to a good cooked meal. But it doesn't have to be fancy, brothers and sisters. We need to understand that. Hospitality does not have to be fancy. We can make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and talk about the things of our Lord. We can make soups, put on the crock pot, make something simple, because the food is not is what is important to us, but it's the fellowship with God's people. Those are who we want to be with. Further, I want to make a small addendum here, because I know that some of you do have difficulties with this idea of hospitality. Perhaps you have food allergies and even difficulties eating with people. I myself do. First, I want to say there's nothing to be ashamed of if you have food allergies or difficulties around meals with people. There's no shame, there's no sin on your part because your body doesn't respond well to food. But I want to and lovingly encourage you to allow people to serve you in this regard. Allow them to have the blessing of preparing a meal for you that you can eat and enjoy. And it's not a burden for God's people. It's a delight and a joy to serve you in this way. Don't allow an issue that you have with food get in the way of the time that you can be with your brothers and sisters in Christ. And a wonderful practice for all of us who are being hospitable is simply to ask those who are going to be visiting with us if there's any specific food allergies. And we can labor to the glory of God in preparing a meal so that all can enjoy it. Brothers and sisters, hospitality pictures further for us what takes place here every Lord's Day. The last scripture I want to call your attention to is Revelation chapter 3. Hospitality pictures what takes place here every Lord's Day. Revelation chapter 3, beginning in verse 20, many have used this passage to say that Jesus is calling out to sinners here, but in fact, He's writing to the church of the living God. So we need to remember the context is that He's speaking to a faithful church of Christ who preaches the gospel. But listen to the words of our Lord in speaking to this local church. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, and as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne." We are to extend hospitality even to the Lord Jesus here in our congregation every Lord's Day. This was written to the church of the living God. And so our corporate gatherings themselves picture this idea of hospitality where we're begging and pleading that Jesus would come to be with His people and spend time with us and have this intimate fellowship and communion. Further, even the Lord's table is a wonderful picture for us about hospitality. Christ's invitation to come to be a part with Him. His invitation to have hospitality with Christ. And that invitation is to come and be a part of the family of God. And it's for all people who would willingly hear the gospel and respond in faith. Is that the invitation is open to come and sit at the table with the King. And all you must do is repent and believe in Christ. And that invitation is open to anyone and everyone who is here without Him. Brothers and sisters, the gospel is the foundation for our hospitality. And so may God help us as a church to pursue hospitality with all of our hearts, all of our minds, and all of our souls. May we deny ourselves and remember how Jesus welcomed us in and showed hospitality to us. May Christ be with His people and receive the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this morning we do stand in need once more of Your help. Lord, as we just have begun to open up this topic of hospitality, we pray that You would encourage us in this regard. May we see truly what Your Scriptures teach us. May we be people given to hospitality. Thank You for Your kindness, Lord. Thank You for Your love. Lord, thank You for allowing us to be here, even this day, among Your people. Lord, I pray that we would take the time, even after a service, perhaps even late into the afternoon, even late tonight, Lord, to be people who are with Your people. Help us, Lord, to have this desire, this motivation, and Lord, encourage us all to this obedience. In the name of our Lord and Savior.